Blog Talk Radio.
Committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. I've had my share.
And hello, this is Rick Tocchini. Welcome back to Life Lessons Radio. I'm your host for this show, and we appreciate you joining us on our Saturday edition. And just a couple of show reminders before we get to our special guest, Don Jacobson. On May the 8th, we have on our CEO in 10 show, Loreen Ong, who is the CEO of the Travel Channel. So we're looking forward to talking to her. On May the 10th, we will be interviewing Dr. Ted Baer, who is the founder of Movie Guide, and we will be doing the interview for our Life Lessons from Dad book about his famous dad, Tex Allen, who was a silent movie star. So we're looking forward to both of those shows. On this edition is author Don Jacobson. And Don, we welcome you to Life Lessons and look forward to talking to you about your book, When God Makes Lemonade.
Rick, thanks for having me this morning.
Good to have you, too, and if you'd be so kind to tell our listening audience about yourself and where you're from originally, and then we'll get into some questions about your book.
Well, I spent most of my life here in Portland and last 20-some years over in Central Oregon, where my wife and I owned a Christian publishing company called Multnomah Publishers, sold it in 2006 to Random House as they expanded into that market segment. And since that time, started a literary agency, DCJA, and represent authors. And on the side, I do a couple books here, Rick.
Well, and this one, I think, is very timely, Don. And with your background at Multnomah, we might have crossed paths before because I worked on the Prayer of Jabez project and Secrets of the Vine with another company. And so we think highly of what you've accomplished in the past, more so for the glorification of God. But you come from some wonderful companies. So what inspired you, Don, to start the When God Makes Lemonade project?
Yeah, Rick, my own story is in the book, and it's a story that every time I tell it, people get encouraged, and they are able to see that even in dark things and bad things, it's, you know, that sometimes something beautiful happens out of them. And so when you start, you know, telling your story for 30 years and realize people get encouraged on the way, along the way, and also when you just start, you know, you look where our nation's at, and just even the tragedy of Boston, you know, this past week, and you go, what in the world, you know? And so people need hope and people need encouragement. And that's why we started collecting these stories. That's why we built a website where people could share their stories so that we could encourage each other, because we all need encouragement.
Mm. So does that mean that you're going to have a national franchise of thousands of lemonade stands?
Well, wouldn't that be cool? I think somebody else is already working on that, but we'd be really happy with multiple books coming out and just people just sharing their stories and telling how God took a dark time in their life and in a way that they couldn't imagine, something beautiful came out of it. You know, there's a psalm, Rick, from and Asaph wrote it, and he's recounting when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and you know, they got their backs up against the wall, they got their backs up against the Red Sea, and you know, now we know about that miracle, but they'd never heard about the waters being parted. And he says this in Psalm 77:19, he said, "Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there." And I think our hope here in all of this is that people would start to maybe just start looking for God, you know, in their dark times and look out and maybe hope that he's making a way for them.
Mm, I really appreciate that. And I think that the global mission should be to all be encouragers and try to create little Don Jacobson Juniors out there to so everyone can realize that they were given the gift from God of encouragement. It's not you don't have to be sainted to have that gift. So, you know, maybe this is the impetus for a national movement. And I kind of say that lemonade stand in with tongue in cheek, because when I was 6 years old, that was the first business that I decided to hang out my shingle on. I remember Don delegating my mom and dad to, mom made the lemonade and dad built the stand, and it was like, nice leadership 101, Ricky. Okay, so how did you come up with the title When God Makes Lemonade, beyond the obvious?
You know, I was actually with a buddy of mine, Ken Ruckers. We were getting ready to work out. We were pulling up the radio. We were pulling up to the gym, and there was just a radio guy was talking, and he just said something about making lemonade, and it just kind of clicked with me. And that whole phrase, you know, your grandma said it, your dad said it, your mom said it. You know, hey, Ricky, make lemonade out of lemons. And it started hitting me. Here's the thing, you know, that's our effort, and then but when God makes lemonade, it actually originally started, God loves lemonade. The whole idea behind that was that God loves to redeem bad things, all those things in our life that can take us down, and, you know, what Satan, you know, it says means for harm. And so the idea was born in that moment. I went home and immediately secured the URL and said, wow, this is a great banner under which to collect stories and to fulfill exactly what you're talking about, what Hebrews says, to encourage one another daily as long as it is today, because we need it. We need encouragement. Life's tough. Life's hard. And so that was born right there in that parking lot, getting ready to go into a workout with my buddy Ken.
I love that. And someday when you face your maker and he says, well done, my good and faithful encouragement guy, do you think that that moniker is a little daunting at this point, and why should it be spread out to the rest of the world so we all become encouragement guys?
Well, I mean, the bottom, you know, you go reaching all the way back, Rick, you know, the gospel I grew up with never told me that life was going to be tough. But, you know, Jesus himself said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. So I preached a message not too long ago in a church, and the message was called A Theology of Hope. And I started it out by saying, listen, I know something true about every single person in this audience. And I'd say this, you and I know something true about every single person who's listening right now. And that is that you either have had a tough time, you will have a tough time, you are having a tough time, or you know somebody that is. And so of the matter is everybody needs encouragement. Someone needs hope. And that's why we gotta encourage them. And I want to be a catalyst to help people, because what happens is you start realizing it's the story that you tell again and again and again that people are always encouraged when you tell it. And rarely does that have to do with you. It mostly has to do with what God did. Those are the stories that last. Those are the stories that endure.
I really appreciate that. And I want you to share a little bit more with our listening audience about you, the man, and your family, because our show, while we do a noble job of promoting and getting God's word out there, our listening audience loves to know a little bit more insight on the author. So you understated, Don, about your journey at Multnomah. Can you tell our listening audience a little bit more about, let's get specific, what were and what are those core values of Don Jacobson that make you so different as an author?
Wow. Well, you know, honestly, my own story, my own lemonade story, is so key here, because I was loving commercial construction. Had a major hunting accident. I'm in the hospital. My father-in-law says, you're going to have to start using your mind now instead of your body. And honestly, I think you're going to be better at that. And honestly, Rick thought he was a little callous, a little insensitive. I'm laying there with a big old 4-inch hole in my stomach. I can barely walk. And he's saying stuff like that. But ultimately, he was right in that I went back to Multnomah University, finished my degree, and then got involved in Christian publishing. Along the way, met some incredible authors. We published some amazing authors who shaped my life, you know, men like Henry Blackaby, Dr. Dobson, Max Lucado, Andy Stanley, all, you know, just incredible. I could keep going, and I should stop because I would miss people who have had a profound impact on my life. And watching these people just be so faithful with, you know, the word, and realizing what a privilege it is to publish, what a important task, what a stewardship it is. And so for me, you know, coming to this, I really feel, I tell people all the time, you know, as an agent, that just because you could do something doesn't mean you should do it. Well, I want people to do what they must do. And honestly, when it comes to this book, it's something we had to do. We had to do it. We had to share these stories. And what, Rick, I've never shared this ever yet, but I actually self-published this book. And that in itself is a story of Lemonade, because I did it wrong. I just kind of did this general revelation book, you know, where just like, hey, it kind of pointed towards God. But I just remember I was driving over to Portland one day, and I felt like God just said, you know, you missed it. And, you know, he's just like Lewis's quote that God, you know, whispers in our prosperity and he shouts in our pain. And I didn't feel like at the end of the day that I'd created a book that would really just point people to God. And I pulled the book from the marketplace and not knowing that God would do anything with it. But by his grace and kindness, Thomas Nelson, publisher out of Nashville, got excited about it, and they republished it, and they let me rewrite all the stories and really point them towards God. And so here we are today in this unlikely way. So who am I? A guy that makes a lot of mistakes. Just by God's grace, he keeps leading me forward.
Beautifully stated. And I think if for the men that listen to this show, and those especially in leadership positions, if you could own up to what Don just said and kind of what we say every day about our own mistakes, we think it's the easiest thing to do to broadcast life lessons when I'm the chief mistake maker. So it's, you know, you've got to get to a humble point. What you said, that God whispers in our prosperity and shouts in our pain. Oh boy, that's, I think if you took an old Vox amplifier and turned it up to 10, some of us have heard that amplifier. That's the same amplifier, folks, that was used at Shea Stadium for the Beatles. It was supposed to be listened to by 55,000 screaming girls, and no one heard a chord, by the way. Side story on the Beatles. So, you know, our listening audience needs to know, you can go to whengodmakeslemonade.com. to find out more information. And Don, without deifying you, I know a lot of our listeners love to get signed books from the authors. Is there any way that they can get a signed copy of When God Makes Lemonade from you?
Well, I'm going to be in Lacey, Washington at the Costco up there, and I know your listeners are in Colorado, so, you know, unless they get a little... you know, I don't have any plans right away to be down in Denver, but you know, the book seems to be gaining some momentum, so hopefully I'll have opportunity to do that. Trying to think, they could send, I mean, it's just so ridiculous to send copies in. I'd be happy to sign them if they send them to our office. I'd be happy to sign a few and get them down to you to give away to some listeners if you'd like me to do that. Rick, you know, if you have a contest or something like that, or whatever you do, and you send me some names of some people, I'll sign them and send them to you. How's that?
Well, that sounds good. And in the interim, can our listening artist write you at whengodmakeslemonade.com? Is there a contact inside that website?
There is. There's a blog. They could write it on the blog that's there and all of that. You bet. And I'd be very happy to do that. We just, we appreciate our listeners so much and our readers so much. And we'd absolutely be happy to do that. And we'd be happy to get their stories, too, Rick, for this next book. I mean, we're hoping to publish lots of these books, so we need your listener stories. You touch a lot of people out there on your show. And I guarantee you somebody's got out there right now, they're thinking, I got a lemonade story. I never thought about it in those terms before. I've got a lemonade story. We want that story on our next book.
Yeah, that is great. I think everybody's got a lemonade story. They just need to come out of the woodworks and tell it and share it with you guys. That's the key. And I don't know, Don, what keeps people in our culture from storytelling. I'm pretty certain that storytelling is being suppressed by technology and as are good conversations. And I think when God makes lemonade kind of harkens back to what Marilyn Blackaby tells us, which is, why don't you just have a conversation around the kitchen table about God, you know, and start with turning everything off, everything technical off, and just look at each other eyeball to eyeball. So I guess I'm drinking Marilyn Blackaby's lemonade, so to speak, because I really believe that as a nation and as the next generation, we are challenged behind that. And I'd love to hear your comment about that, given that you've had a journey in the publishing industry, and storytelling, I think, is becoming a prized skill and art.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. In that message I mentioned earlier that I gave, I told people there's three things when you're in the middle of a hard thing you can do. There's in the middle of a hard time, there's three things you can do. And you actually hit on the second one. The one is tell the stories. And it's honestly the stories that keep us encouraged. It's when you hear a story is ultimately what? It's a testimony. And a lemonade story is specifically a testimony about God's involvement, God's intervention, God's activity in my life. And so that's why we believe it's so important to tell stories, and that's why we actually have an author a writer who helps our authors tell stories. It is tough, you know, when people are intimidated by when stories are, you know, or they see all this, there's so much available to us, sometimes people can be intimidated. They've said, I've never written in my lifetime. Well, they need to be held, you know, people, telling stories is an art. But you know what it says about Jesus in the New Testament? It says what? He says he always taught with stories. Why? You might forget what the preacher preached about one, but when he anchors it with a story, when it illustrates the concept well, that's that art part. Andy Stanley talks about that in Communicating for Change, just that specific art, that art of picking an illustration that amplifies a point. That's brilliant, and it's really important for us to do that well. But I think stories is key, and that's why, you know, in 1 Corinthians, I think it says that those stories were written for our benefit. What the Old Testament is written for our benefit, so we learn from it. Nothing's changed. We learn from other people's stories. We learn from mistakes, just like you encourage your guys, you know, hey, you know, we've all made mistakes. I tell people I've got a double doctorate in mistakes made in the last 7 years. And I'm not trying to be funny. It's true. I've made a bunch. But telling those stories gives other guys encouragement and that they can come back from mistakes. That God's not wringing his hands in heaven thinking, oh, I cannot believe you lost that money. I can't believe you did that, you bonehead. No. He's his patient father saying, hey, have you learned? Have you learned? Okay, let's move on. So that's why I think it's tell stories, because they, in a sense, they make everyone approachable when we're honest with them. You go, you know, it's just like you enter into that other person's story and you realize, wow, it's okay to say I messed up, or it's okay to say I'm hurting. It's okay to say whatever. So telling stories is huge. It puts us on the same page together as people.
It really does. And Don, I hope that you, with Thomas Nelson, will work on projects and initiatives similar to what we're doing with Life Lessons, because we think that men need to man up to the mistakes that they've made. I'd love to see as the next book When God Makes Lemonade from Men, and use that, kind of hold that up as an example, and maybe back end it into fathers. You're going to have to sit down and talk to your kids face to face about your own journey, and then accomplish what we keep preaching about, which is the importance of the presence of a dad in the family.
Yeah. You know? Amen.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm becoming Dr. James Dobson, only I'm about 90 miles north of him. we have so many issues in our culture that I think are, not to point to dads today, but I think that a God Makes Lemonade project, as it applies to men and dads, I think that would rock the world.
Well, tell your people to get us some stories, and we'll do it, and buy some books, and hopefully Nelson comes up and says, Don, we need another book. Do you know what's going on in Denver? Yes, I say, yes,
it all
I do.
Starts in Denver and Portland.
What's that?
It all starts in Denver and Portland, doesn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, I've got one final question for you. And again, we're talking to author Don Jacobson of When God Makes Lemonade. One final question, and this is about importance of storytelling. I want you to know, Don, that The Secrets of the Vine from Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, I think your work along with Dr. Bruce changed at least one person's life, and it's mine. I have retold the story of pruning umpteen times, and I think it's just an example of the importance of storytelling. And if you don't mind, can you just would you mind giving an example of how you continue to prune the vine for yourself today and how you've applied that great content?
Yeah, that, you know, that whole message about, you know, that Bruce preaches there about how God wants fruit in our life, more fruit, much fruit, and it's interesting, you know. I think one of the things that that I went through a really deep valley here not too long ago, Rick, honestly, after I sold Multnomah, and I just went through a really, really tough time, and I think that we make a mistake when we think that the other side of the valley is more better of what you had before. You know, like I thought, oh, I'm going to have more influence and more affluence, you know. And I think that's one of the things that I had to come to that may or may not be true. So for me, it's real. I think in the whole pruning process, pruning is also about shaping the true kingdom values in us, true kingdom values. And kind of, for me, pruning has been clarifying kingdom values and separating them from my American values, if that makes sense. Because as an American, I think, oh, I mean, this American entrepreneur, business guy, and there's more better of the other on the other side. But the kingdom values, where Bonhoeffer's famous quote: "When Jesus calls a man, he bids him come and die." You know, and just for me, I think the pruning was realizing that what Jesus is calling me into a life of descent, not necessarily a life of ascent. Maybe. But it all begins with descent and humility and learning to be content in whatever circumstances the Lord allows me and, you know, and places before me. That's been part of my pruning in the last few years, just realizing that I have, you know, I've Americanized the kingdom, and the pruning being that he wanted me to see the kingdom the way he sees it, you know, that I'm less and he's more.
Thank you for saying that. That is very, very powerful and very personal. And that was very much appreciated. That's a story that I hope you folks can take from Don and retell around your supper table tonight. So I appreciate that. Don, you are a wonderful guest. You are welcome back on our Life Lesson Show anytime you would like to be on. And thank you for what I would consider, this is just Ricky talking, moving from a position of success overseeing Multnomah to being in a position of significance with this book, When God Makes Lemonade.
Thank you, Rick, very much. That's very encouraging.
That was Don Jacobson, author of When God Makes Lemonade. What a great idea. It's true stories that amaze and encourage. And folks, go to whengodmakeslemonade.com to find out more information. Buy the book. It's out from Thomas Nelson this month, and it's just $15.99. It will make a great gift, I think, for graduation, Father's Day, Mother's Day, you name it. And I think the truest value of the book is about creating a national movement and getting people to talk again and to recognize when God does make lemonade. And he does in every single one of your lives. So get with it. Let's buy this book and get this national program moving. Don, thanks again, and you are welcome back anytime on the show.
Thanks, Rick, very much, and I'm going to look forward to that. I'm working on something you're going to be excited about, I think.
All right. Well, let's have you back. We'll talk again.
Sounds good.
Okay, take care. And, again, that was Don Jacobson, and thanks to him for stepping up and writing a book of I think, great importance, When God Makes Lemonade. And, folks, we'll be back on the air Monday with a couple of shows, and then our production team is down in Austin for the week working on several other initiatives. We'll be back with some fantastic shows in May, including the CEO and 10 with Laureen Ong. And then we also will have E1 TV's CEO, John Morenas, on during the first week of May as well. Those are two great shows that you don't want to miss. Until then, I'll leave you with what Don said today, which I think was so powerful, that God whispers in our prosperity, but he shouts when we're in pain. Folks, have a great weekend. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.